Oh boy. Hopefully you didn't have any interactions like that for your Thanksgiving, but welcome to High Point. Glad you guys are here with us today. My name's Gary. I'm on staff here. We are starting a new series called Trinity today. And if you've grown up in church, you may have heard this term before. It's this word that means that God is one, yet exists in three manifestations. So this is a really, really... It can be a really confusing idea because you can't really wrap your mind around that because you're like, how is God one yet three? That just doesn't make sense in our human minds. And yet, this is an essential to the Christian faith, is understanding that God exists in three different beings or manifestations. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So we're talking about that for the next 3 weeks. That's going to lead us up to our Ugly Sweater Sunday, which I hope you guys are already planning and prepping and getting your sweaters all set up. I know there's some people that have already, like Amanda, haven't you designed yours? You've like drawn out exactly what you want it to be about or something. I think I saw that at lunch one Sunday. And I'm like, that is skills right there. So hopefully the rest of you are kind of in that same mode of trying to figure this out. But I'm talking about the Holy Spirit today. So I get the hardest one of the three. And I can explain some things to you. And I had this thought this week as I was putting together. I was like, I'm a human on this planet called Earth. And it's kind of like in the scope of things, Earth is kind of small. And I'm trying to explain God to you. And specifically, God somehow exists in three persons. And so I'm like, this is kind of crazy. And so I want to kind of set the field there where this is just going to be a confusing topic because the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, this is something that nobody really has figured out and nobody should because we're humans. God is way beyond what we can understand. And so just don't, if you walk away and you have more questions than anything else, that's okay. Because I do too. Like, I haven't figured this thing out. And I think that's something I've tried to really create around here, a culture where we don't have to have all the answers, but we believe in a God that does. And so I think if we recognize that, that just takes off this pressure of like feeling like we have to know everything about God and be able to answer every question that comes up. It's like, no, we don't have to feel that because God, he's the one that has it all kind of under control. And so I kind of want to set the playing field there. I don't know what your guys' experiences have been with the Holy Spirit, but has anybody been to a Pentecostal church before? Does anybody even know what that is? Okay, a handful. So there are kind of different denominations in the church. You know, there's Baptist, there's Pentecostal, there's Methodist. There's all these different kind of waves of thought in the Christian world. And so Pentecostal churches, if you've gone to one, they have a certain kind of way they function where like people are like in the middle of service, they're like speaking in tongues, kind of going crazy. People are like doing backflips off the wall and like the Holy Spirit is here today. And people are like puking in the corners. It's just like really chaotic. Like I've been to one. I went to one in New York. I was on a mission trip. And the first thing was that it was really funny because this church was like right in the center of New York. And as you walk in, there were a lot of African Americans. And so you're like, okay, this is going to have a certain vibe because, you know, they like to dance. They like to get into this thing, which is super cool. And then the preacher gets up there, and he's this old, like, 60-year-old white dude. And I'm like, this doesn't make sense. I don't get this. But it was this total Pentecostal church where we would sing songs, and for, like, one bridge of a song, you know, it's supposed to last, like, 15 seconds. They would sing the bridge for, like, 12 minutes. So I'm, like, sitting in the chair. I fell asleep, actually, in the service because it lasted for about 2.5 hours. And so that's just kind of the way that these services work. They're just like the Spirit's lead, and so wherever we go, we go. You know, it's like that's kind of the way you feel when you go into them. So if you haven't been to one, that's okay. I'm just trying to give you an idea. But I have a friend named Raul that a lot of you guys have met because he comes to Summit. But he, I've told the story to some of you before. So when he first became a Christian, he went to a church with his mom, and so he was so new to the whole thing. And so he goes in, and it's kind of a pretty crazy Pentecostal church, and he's having a good old time or whatever, but they do this thing called being slain in the Spirit. Have you heard of that? Okay, so that's where, Kevin, you want to come up here real quick? He's like, no, but I'm going to have to. So that would be like, here's an example of what would go on. So I'm the preacher, and I would be like, I don't know. Let's just skip that part. So I would be doing some crazy cool message or something, and you're going to be so moved, like, oh my gosh, the Holy Spirit's here. And so I'd invite people up front, and everybody would get up here, and they'd be like, okay, do you need to be healed today? Yes, he says, I think so. So then what they do, they slay you in the spirit, or I like to call it spirit smack. So you go like this, like that, and then you just like fall to the ground, but clearly, Kevin, no, nobody even catches you. You just fall to the ground. Thanks for doing that for me. Sorry. You can hit me back later, and it'll hurt more because you're a lot stronger than me. But so like people would be like hit in the face, and then you fall to the ground, like, oh, the spirit is here. So my buddy Raul goes to this church as a brand new guy. And so like down the line, all these people are getting spirit smacked, and they're just hitting the ground left and right. And so then he's like, oh, no. He's getting close to me, and his mom's right here. And so mom gets smacked, and then she's down on the ground, flailing about, you know, twitching a little bit. And then the pastor looks at him and is like, are you ready? He's like, yes. He gets smacked, and he just stands there. And so he said what he did. He just kind of like looked around, and then he just kind of stood there, and he was just like, all right. And then the pastor goes on and finishes off the rest of the group, you know. And so like I share that because stories around the Holy Spirit can be kind of just these nutso things that happen in churches. But the reality is that there's way more to the Holy Spirit, and it's not just these crazy moments that happen. The Holy Spirit, as you look through Scripture, is oftentimes this still small voice that speaks in our hearts to our conscience and helps us as we're trying to move through life, through the different trials we have, the confusion, the stress, and everything that we face. It can be as simple as that. And so I kind of want to share that to help you get a picture of here's kind of how we talk about the Holy Spirit, but the reality is a lot different. And ultimately what I hope that you'll understand is that living a Spirit-led life leads to complete satisfaction and purpose. And so hopefully that's what you can gather from today. If you want to take notes with me, go ahead and write this down as your first fill-in. It is, the Holy Spirit makes us new. Holy Spirit makes us new. In Titus chapter 3, it says this. But then something happened. God, our Savior, and his overpowering love and kindness for humankind entered our world. He came to save us. It's not that we earned it by doing good works or righteous deeds. He came because he is merciful. He brought us out of our old ways of living to a new beginning through the washing of regeneration. And he made us completely new through the Holy Spirit. Underline completely new. Who was poured out in abundance through Jesus the Anointed, our Savior. So packed in this little section of Scripture, you see the Trinity going on here. It's like, you see God, our Savior, and he's being sent by the Father, and then the Holy Spirit regenerating us, making us completely new. And I want you to underline that, because it's not that you just get like a better version of yourself. God's like, I want to make you a brand new creation. I'm gonna kind of start from scratch, spiritually speaking. See, I think sometimes we just think that when we become a Christian, we're not really that changed. Or we are just like a little bit of an upgrade of who we used to be. But God's like, I want to make you completely new. There's another scripture in Corinthians that talks about making us a new creation. So it's not just a revision or a little bit of a change or something. He's saying, I want to make you completely new through the power of my Holy Spirit. Now, how many of you guys like new car smell? Okay, there's something wrong with all of you. New car smell is the worst thing ever. So I have a couple of these right here. Oh, that was potent. My goodness. So like, for a lot of you, maybe all of you, none of you have like a brand new car. So you don't really have the whole new car smell going on. For me, you know me, I buy really, really old cars, and that's just kind of my thing. But what we do is, in order to make us feel like we have like a new, fresh vehicle, we will get something like this, where it's like, oh, I have the new car smell, so when I get in, it feels new, it's kind of nice, and it makes me feel good and whatever, and that's kind of what we do. And who actually does like it? Because I'll give these away to you, because I do not want them. Dibs over here. I know your car's old, so you can definitely have this one. You got one? What year is your car? 84. Oh, 1984? Dude, that's 29 years old. That's 1 year younger than me. That's old. You definitely need to use that. Okay. So we get this new car smell for our cars, and either you're trying to just make your car feel like it's new, or you're trying to hide the fact that you had Taco Bell in there for like a month leftover sitting in the corner. So you're trying to like get rid of that whole smell. And see, it's not that way with God. He doesn't just say, here, let me give you a little bit of stuff to kind of upgrade your spiritual life or just kind of change you a little bit. He's like, no, I want to give you something brand new. So like, here's my car that I actually just got rid of. Go ahead and throw that picture up, CJ. So that's my Mitsubishi 1995 Diamante wagon that I actually just had to get rid of. I had to sell it for $320 because it was having trouble starting, it was smoking, and what else was wrong with it? It was leaking everything. Like, there were things that you didn't even know were in cars that it's leaking. So that's my car. And so instead of God just saying, like, I'm just going to kind of make this thing a little bit better, he's like, I'm going to give you this. Put up my dream car. There it is. I heard a laugh. But you know, if you had that car, you would be like, okay, this is a pretty cool car. So he's like, rather than having this old vehicle that I'm just going to kind of upgrade, he's like, I'm going to give you this brand new thing. I'm going to regenerate you through the power of the Holy Spirit. You can get rid of that as much as I want to look at it for days. And Lindsay, you're in here. Where are you, Lindsay? Babe, just Christmas is coming if you want to hook a brother up. Yeah. So the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us, and through his power, he's going to regenerate us and make us new. Not just a better version. He's like, I'm brand new. And I love in the scripture how it also says, poured out in abundance. Because it's not like God's being stingy. Like, I'll give you a little bit of my spirit and a little bit of myself. He's like, I have this gift for you, but you have to receive it. You have to accept this gift, and as soon as you do, you get this power for living this completely changed life. And he's waiting for us to accept it. Now, write this down here as an action step related to that. It's have a DTR. DTR, if you don't know what that is, it's define the relationship. So I'm not saying to have one of those with your boyfriend or girlfriend. I'm saying apply that principle to your spiritual life. We get through, kind of like Jordan just said up here in music, like we get into this season of life where we're just busy, we're stressed, we're just on the go, kind of running through the motions, and God's like, I'm trying to speak to you, but we're kind of tuning him out, and it's not intentional all the time, it just kind of happens with life, and so I'm saying, maybe set aside this week 15 minutes and just say, God, I want to just talk to you about where I'm actually at in my spiritual life, and this is even more important, but just be real with wherever you're at. See, I think we feel like we need to come to God and we kind of have to put church face on and like happy and like everything's all perfect and I'm so close to God. But truthfully, God already knows where you're really at. So it's not like you're fooling him by telling him these little nice church phrases of where you're at in your spiritual life. He's like, I just want you to be honest because I already know where you're at, but you need to be able to tell me and just be totally real and be honest. Because only when we're honest about that can God move us forward. We have to be willing to say, God, here's where I'm at. I don't feel close to you. And then God goes, okay, well, let's work through that. Let's work through that together. Kind of building off what I said last week. God is after relationship. Like, he wants us more than anything just to talk to him and be in relationship with him. He's not just like, I want you to do more things and be a better person and just be good enough. He's like, no, become close with me and become connected with me. And then all those things will follow. You'll start to change and you'll experience that. And one thing that has been really important to me as I've been here for a while now is I've always wanted to create a place where people can just come in the doors and you can really just be like, here's where I'm at. And Gary, I disagree with what you're talking about this whole God thing, but you can come here and you can just check it out. Because I just feel like in so many churches, you feel this pressure of like, okay, I got to put on the right clothing and I got to have this, I have to like think all of the same things. Or maybe you've invited a friend before and their first reaction is to say, I don't know if I can go there because I'm pretty messed up. Like, do you know what I did last week? And I don't think I'm allowed to do this whole church thing. Because that's what is normal. That's what people think. And so I've just wanted to be like, let's create a place where you can just invite your friends and they can totally disagree and check it out. And then we can just help them with wherever they're at. Because truthfully, every single one of us is in process. So some of you, you're in a place where you're like totally rocking spiritually. You're like, you feel connected to God. Things are going great. And then some of you, you've been here, this is your first week this week, and you're like, why are they singing? And the music's too loud, and I don't really get it. I don't know anybody. And you have all these different thoughts and questions. And so we have all these people in between those two places. And for me, I'm like, yes, that's what I want. I want for us to create a place where you can be anywhere on this process of spirituality, but you won't stay where you're at. See, that's the key. It's that you recognize, here's where I'm at in my spiritual life, but you're not just so lazy or stagnant. You're just like, I'm just going to stay here. but you're like, okay, I want to move forward. I want to take another step. I was talking with one of our students that's kind of new around here last week, and she was just telling me that she has a lot of things, like questions, and there are certain things that she doesn't want to give up related to spirituality and what God might ask of her. And so she's like, it's really hard, and we're just kind of talking through it. And I think sometimes people come to me and they think, okay, Gary's going to give me the answer that's going to give me the perfect thing that I know exactly what to do. But a lot of times I just go, yeah, that's hard. Cool. Yeah, and that's kind of where it stands, because for me, I just realized that for me to convince anybody to become a Jesus follower, it's not going to make it last long term. Eventually, the Holy Spirit has to speak to somebody and they have to respond, and it has to be a relationship that happens there instead of just, well, Gary told me this, or Gary says this, or on Sundays, Gary teaches this, and blah, blah, blah. It's got to be your faith, your own relationship with God. And that is so, so important. Write down this as your next thing. It's the Holy Spirit is our guide. Let me read this out of Galatians 5 to you. It says, here's my instruction. Walk in the Spirit. Underline that. And let the Spirit bring order to your life. If you do, you will never give in to your selfish and sinful cravings. For everything the flesh desires goes against the Spirit. And everything that the Spirit desires goes against the flesh. There is a constant battle raging between them that prevents you from doing the good you want to do. Now, as I read that, I hope you recognize, like, this is so real, man. Like, there's this constant battle of right versus wrong that we're always facing. I mean, it happened on Friday for a lot of you. You know, you're trying to choose between UW, which is the right choice, and Wazoo, which is the sinful, satanic choice, right? So you're in this battle. I honestly don't even care about who won that game or anything, but I just knew that that would make the Wazoo fans really angry, and I like to do that. No. But how often do we know what's right, and we're faced with it, and we're like, yes, this is obviously the right choice to make. But we're tempted with what is wrong. I went backpacking for the first time. This was maybe 6 or 7 years ago. And as you look up here, you might be thinking, yeah, you're obviously pretty strong, and you can probably do the whole hiking thing really well. You're an attractive, good-looking young man. You know, it's all those things. That's what you're thinking. But I had never gone backpacking before, and so I got invited to go, and so I'm like, I borrowed a backpack from a friend, and I'm doing this whole trip, and I'm wearing like Vans shoes, because I don't have no hiking boots or anything like that, so I'm like getting ready, getting all pumped, and so we are on the hike, and we go up for about maybe like 4 miles, and then we hit this fork where it's like you're having to decide which way you're going to go. So we had a guide for this whole trip, and totally trusted this dude, because he was that like really burly man that like eats wood and can create fire and all those kinds of things. And so I'm like, I trust this guy. Like, he totally knows what's going on. So he's got his map, and he's like, okay, we got to go up this direction. He's super confident. So I'm like, yeah, dude, I got your back, man. I'm with you. So we're going, and it's a nice trail and everything for a while. And then we hit this part, like, instantly where it becomes a hill like this. And it's not a trail anymore. It's like we're climbing over rocks and bears and, like, trees and bushes and all this stuff. And so all of us are kind of thinking, like, where's this guy taking us? Like, is he going to kill us and leave us in the woods? What's really going on here? And so we're kind of just following, and then he stops. He's like, okay, let's take a break. And I'm like, thank you. I'm dying here, you know? I'm an Asian, 5'6", and I have flat feet and Vans shoes. Like, this is not the ideal hiking situation. And so he breaks out the map, and you can see his mind racing, and he's like, you can tell he's like not wanting to tell us what's going on, but he's like, back at that fork, we were supposed to go the other way, not up here. And we're like, no. He's like, yes. And so then we have to hike 2 miles back down to get to the fork again. So that's what, 8 miles or something like that? I don't know. I can't really add. Weird. Six, thank you. Well, you're Asian, so you know math really well. That's true. No. Okay, so we hike back down, and all of us, I mean, I don't know if that's a long hike for some of you, but 6 miles, dude, that's a long ways, man. That took us like 14 days. That's like crazy. Okay, so we get back down to the fork, and then we're trying to make this decision. Are we going to keep going, or are we going to just head back to the car and, like, call it quits? So we get to the fork, we have a discussion. We're like, yeah, let's just go back to the cars. So we had to hike another 4 miles back down the hill to get to the car. And so at the very bottom of the hill, there was this truck where a ranger was there. He's kind of working, which means he wasn't really doing anything because they don't do anything anyways. So he had his truck there, and he left the keys in the car, and the car was running. And I'm like, I couldn't see the ranger anywhere. But I had this thought. I stopped by the truck, and I was like, would it be that bad if I just stole the car to get back down to the bottom of the hill? And I remember having this like moment of, my feet are killing me. All I want to do is get back to the bottom and eat a Snickers bar. Like, that's all I care about right now. And so I'm looking and I'm like, okay, no, I can't do that. So I didn't steal the car, so you don't need to report me or anything like that. But we are faced with those decisions all the time where we clearly know what the right decision to make is, but we're tempted with what the wrong thing is. And a lot of times, that's where we go. We fall into that trap of like, oh, well, it won't be that bad. And we start that justifying game where we go, oh, well, if I just do this one time, it won't be that big of a deal, and I can pray and ask for forgiveness, and it's all good. You know, and so we like play this spiritual game with God where we're like, well, maybe he doesn't know that I'm doing this or something, but like, come on, that's just not very smart to be thinking that way. But we're faced with this all the time. And I had to underline that walk in the Spirit because I think that's the key. It's this this staying in step with where the Spirit is leading you. I mean, a lot of you have seen the movie Pitch Perfect, right? Yeah. It's okay. But, so the whole premise is like they have these sing-off battles between these groups of people, and could you imagine, and the reason it's really good is because everybody's all like together. They're all in sync, in unison, in step. Could you imagine if there was one guy that's on the side like, just like standing in the corner going nuts the whole time? You'd be like, get that guy off the stage. This guy's ridiculous. He has major issues, okay? He needs to go to counseling. That's what you'd be thinking. And see, I think oftentimes that's what we look like because we have gone completely out of step with where the Spirit is trying to take us. Either two things happen. Number one is we get ahead of the Spirit and we're like, okay, God, keep up. Here's my plans for life. Can you, come on, you're going a little slow, buddy. Let's go. Or we get so far behind that we're like, we don't even know where our guide is anymore. And so we find ourselves in this constant battle where that's the tension, where we're trying so much to live a Spirit-led life where we're just like, okay, God, you're just like right here with me. Tell me what the next thing is. Maybe not so much what's way in the future, but just tell me one step. And I want to stay in step with you. I want to follow you. I want to be, as this would say, walking in the Spirit. Write down this as your action step related to that. It is seek his counsel. Seek his counsel. I just want to ask a question to some of you that are, you're either a junior or senior, and you're thinking about, what's the next thing? Where am I going to go for school? What's my major going to be? What's my job going to be in the future? My question for you is, have you honestly sought out God's counsel related to your future? See, because I think what we do is we're like, well, I have this plan for my life, and this is what I'm going to do. And I'm just going to hope that God will bless it and just kind of say, yeah, that's okay, go ahead and do that. When we need to kind of pull back a step and go, like, why are you applying to certain colleges that you apply to? Is it just to apply for the sake of it? Or are you asking questions like, God, where do you want me to go where I can serve you more? God, where can I go and find a great church that I can continually stay connected to? See, those kinds of questions are the ones that I think we should be asking and seeking his counsel rather than just saying, God, I'm going to do my thing and I'm just going to tell you that you need to bless whatever I'm going to do. Because God doesn't honor that. God doesn't bless that. He's saying, you're not walking with me. You're not walking in the Spirit with me and asking me to tell you, here's what I want for your life. Or maybe as it relates to dating relationships, you could do what my wife did before we met. When she was in high school, she had gotten out of an unhealthy relationship, and so she got advice from someone, I don't know who it was, about your list that you made, Katie Tormey. So it was her mentor when she was in high school and kind of going through college as well. Told her, you need to make a list of all the things that you want in a relationship and what you want your future husband to be like. And so she listed off all these different things that she had. I don't know if you still have the journal or not. I would love to see it, actually, to see how I match up, which I obviously do. No, but she had like, there were like essential things that are really important. Obviously, like this person believes in Jesus and is following Jesus and is involved in church and that kind of stuff. And then she had funny things. Like I remember one of them she told me was that the guy would like Harry Potter. I failed that test because Harry Potter's a waste of time. Oh my gosh, I did not realize. Wow, people love Harry in here. That's cool. Yeah, you're like, I'm still dealing with that in our marriage. But she had this entire list of what she wanted in a future relationship. And so maybe that's what you need to do. Rather than just jumping into one and being like, okay, cool, yeah, this person's nice, they seem okay, you make a list, you're like, here are the things that are really, really essential and important. And I would really advise girls for you guys to do this. And I think Lindsay would say the exact same thing. And that's something I think she has told some of you that know her, pretty well, that she's told you. Make a list. Describe all these different things that you want. And guys, same thing for you. I remember I had a list too when I was in college at the time, and I'd gone through relationship after relationship that none of them were working. So I was like, okay, I just need to stop and like write down a few things. And guys, our lists are going to be a lot shorter because we're going to be like, they have to like meet and like love Jesus. I'm good. Oh, and sports. There we go. I'm happy. You know, like that's what our list will be like. But I would tell you that would be a great step for you to take is seeking his counsel as it relates to your dating relationships instead of just jumping into one. Write down this as your next thing. It's the Holy Spirit produces change. Galatians 5:22. Some of you might have heard of this. It's the scripture that's about the fruit of the Spirit. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So what this is saying here is that people who have decided to own their faith in Jesus and become a Christian, your life should be marked by these characteristics. That's either a nice thing for you to see, or it's really depressing to be like, oh, I suck at love, I suck at joy, to have no peace, patience, I don't even know what that is, kindness, I punched a guy in the neck last night, goodness, the only thing good I eat, faithfulness. So you're just going through a list and you're like, yep, I don't do any of those. That's too bad. But we should look different. People who claim to believe in Jesus should be marked by these character traits. And the reason so many people hate Christians and hate the church is because we say we believe all this stuff, but it doesn't ever change us. And so we've become what that word that we all hate. We've become hypocrites. And we hate that word. You would hate it if somebody called you that. I hate it when I get called that. But that's what we become when we say, yeah, I believe in the Holy Spirit produces all these things, and that's awesome. But I don't do any of them. Like, no, you don't actually really believe in Jesus if you don't actually take these seriously and go, God, how can your Holy Spirit produce these things inside of me? How is my heart hard right now? And it's causing me to be stubborn. It's causing me to be selfish. It's causing me to be angry and hateful. Like, God, can you rid me of all those different things that I know don't honor you? And I know every single one of us in here is looking for something different. We're looking for purpose. We're looking for hope. We're looking for joy. We're looking for peace. We're looking for all of these things. And it's like the Holy Spirit's like, I want to give you these. Like, I give them, like I said before, in abundance. They are given to us freely. But why are we resisting that so much? Why are we holding on so much to our own lives? And we're not happy. We're not satisfied. And we're still looking for purpose and looking for meaning and all these different things. And that's what happens, right? Like, for me, before I came to faith, and my process of faith, it took me 3 years of the first day I stepped foot into a church, and 3 years later was when I actually decided I'm going to be a Christian and take this seriously. So it took a long time. So I realized that some of you, you're in that process of you're just checking things out, and that's totally okay because it takes time. And all of us are in process. But I was searching for hope. I was searching for purpose. I was searching for peace. I was in such a spot of turmoil in my life. And I was just like, I need something. I need something different because what I'm doing is not working for me. And I know that all of us were looking for that. And so I finally met this amazing youth pastor that he was super funny. He was a really good bowler. I was a better bowler. And what drew me in was that this guy had all of these traits about him. So if I was in a time of crisis, I could call him and be like, hey, I need you right now. Will you be there for me? And he'd be like, yep, come on over. And it was just like, boom. And I'm like, man, this guy, he like truly loves people. In a way that I've never really experienced before, where I don't feel like he wants something back from me. He just truly wants to be there for me. And he was like the most peaceful person. And the way he interacted with others, I was just like, man, I want to be like that. I want to have what he has that makes him be this way. And so my question for you that are Christians in this room is, what do people see in you? Do they see all of these traits? Do they see love? Do they see joy? Peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Do they see those things, or do they see anger? Do they see jealousy? Do they see pride? Because if all they see is those things, then chances are you're not really allowing the Holy Spirit to convict you and change your character like he wants to. So here's your action step related to that. It's pick one. Just pick one of these. Which one of these traits are you lacking in? Write it down. I think there's a spot on your outline that you can write in. Here's what I need to work on. And then beyond that, not just like think about, okay, how can I be better at it? Pray for God to give you an opportunity to practice it. Like maybe you're like, I am so impatient with everybody all the time. Just say something like, God, would you give me an opportunity to practice patience this week? Because I want to allow your Holy Spirit to work in my life. And he will do that. I've had so many moments where I'll be like, oh yeah, I need to work on this. And then I'll pray and ask God to like help me work on it. And he's like, okay, I'm going to give you a really difficult person to be around this week. And let's see how you practice patience. And those kinds of things will happen. I would love for like next week, if you choose to do this, if you would tell me your stories. Because I know that there will be them. If you're willing to say, okay, I want to practice what the Holy Spirit wants to do in my life. So God, let's do it this week. I would love for you to tell me what those stories are. Well, we'll wrap up there. Go ahead and grab your...